Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got that mighty opposition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kisses us in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our names. Where will you listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
And we hope you love this podcast. We are back at Mountain West Connection show thingy, radio broadcast, you want to call it here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. The typing is by Chris Hondris in the background there. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just, hey, you know what? 3 straight weeks of no typing, and I left my headphones in a place where I shouldn't have, so you got me headphone-less and typing this.
We'll be good. No, we're all right. Just joking with you. So that's Chris Hondris, Jeremy Moss, the guy who was not here last week. So thanks for you and Matt doing the Fresno preview. Excellent, excellent stuff there. So we are going to discuss Nevada tonight. I was going to say something witty, but I have nothing to say. So I'm just going to move on to what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. We're going to talk about Nevada football, which odds are you and me are probably going to overhype them like we do every team and then come back to reality come the mid of August. Does that sound about right?
Excuse me? Who's overhyping Nevada?
Well, I mean, just we overhype teams in general until the season actually gets here. Not just me or you, but we kind of do
that
in general.
I underhyped Nevada. You could go back to the podcast last year. I think I said that Nevada wouldn't make a bowl game.
Well,
or at least I was hoping that.
Hope, yeah, because you know you're a Boise homer and you hate Nevada, right?
Yes.
It's fine. You can hate a team, but still be objective about them. At least I think you're able to. So that's a compliment, kind of, right?
Sort of.
Sure, you'll take it. Is that worth getting here? Before we get, we're going to have our one of our Nevada guys, Reverend Brandon, on. He's done a ton of stuff for us lately. Bunch of college baseball stuff. So if you like that stuff, you can thank him for that. But before we get to Nevada, there's a little bit of news and notes we need to discuss. Or actually, I'm going to bring it upon you because we're getting ready for the show as we speak. Do you really care or have any opinion about what happened at Utah State and their stadium deal and everything? Does that have an effect on you at all?
You know what? I don't really have a feeling about it. I think the whole situation was handled extremely poorly. And I'm totally with Parker, one of our Utah State guys. I'm totally with Parker, and it was just handled grossly, completely the wrong way, and that everybody's pretty much was kind of worse off for it.
I think so. My main thing with about it is because part of it where people were over upset, if you followed him on Twitter because he had an open meeting last week, we got some complaints about it, but heck, it's June and we have a live, I'm doing air quotes, event going on to discuss things. But I agree with Parker too. If you have two public companies, for those who don't know, Utah State has to deal with Maverick, which you probably may know if you pay attention to our site a little bit or care at all. You probably heard a little bit of it. A 21-year deal. The Herald Journal News up in Logan, which, honestly, they do a pretty poor job of covering Utah State athletics. They had an awesome guy, Wade Dennison, who I know a little bit. he's working with the university now. He was did a really good job, but that's about it. He left, I think, about a month or two ago, but they brought on this big crusade. We need to know the details, which is correct. But then again, you have Maverick, Adventures First Stop, for those who don't know who they are, basically saying they wanted to hide behind a pub behind basically nothing, right? Because they did an open records request between two public entities. And the stuff's going to find out, but people are so upset about that newspaper in Logan, the Herald News, saying they're so gung-ho about this, but they really could care less about Utah State, the school that's right down the street from them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at, where you just need, like Parker is exactly right. I think in one of his tweets, you could redact or open 95% of everything, but redact 5%, and people would be fine. I think how you said the way they went about it was kind of pretty poor. Maverick trying to hide how much they're paying or how much they're paying each year or whatever, but that's kind of news we have.
Rather, how little?
Yeah, how little. Because I went back to read the press release. It's a 21-year deal, and I think the AD, who's now long gone, Scott Barnes, yeah, excuse me, I think they raised like 30-something. They're like, this goes a long way to raising our 30 – paraphrasing, $30+ million. I don't think it's going to be more than $250,000 a year. Because what did Boise State get for Albertsons? Didn't they get like $700,000 or something per year?
Yeah, it was a $10 million contract, I think, for like 12 or 13 years.
Yeah, something just under $1 million. So I'm pretty sure Utah State's getting less than that because Maverick is it's in Idaho. Am I right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
If you're out west, you've probably seen it. It's a pretty big deal company, so I don't know how much they're paying, but it's just interesting. Like, oh, we want to keep everything quiet, but it's not like it's going up against USC, Boston College, like a private school, like a religious school that can say, we don't need to tell you anything. So that's kind of what's been going on. We do have – so are you excited about our big bracket we're doing, Chris, to know who the best team ever is?
Yes, your interest? I am.
Did you see who number one was?
I did, and I am extremely twitching.
I am disappointed. Here's what we're doing. You guys talked about it a little bit last week. Our guy Matt Kennelly is putting something up during the offseason to kind of pass the time. Put out a huge poll, which I thought was pretty straightforward. Some people did not think so, but that's fine. There's a lot of options, so... It took some time. Basically, voting for your two, picking the best Mountain West team, and you can pick two schools per two years of a team. So, clear choices: 2004 Utah, 2008 Utah, because they went to the BCS. You can only pick those two. So that's how it went out. And I guess the 2006 BYU team was pretty good at 11-2, but they're nothing, no better than the 2010 TCU or 08 Utah team, in my opinion. But they're number one. We'll kind of do like a what of sports to bracket it up and go that route. But who would you have picked for number one overall?
As the number one seed?
Yeah, who would you have? I have a couple choices here.
I'm going to go with 2009 TCU.
The 2010, you mean? The Rose Bowl team?
Yeah. Well, 2009 season, they played on 2010.
Oh, I thought it was 10 and 11. Whatever it may be. I would agree either that one, because they had the best overall year, and then you had I could be Homer here and say 2008 Utah. Their regular season was pretty good. They had too many come from behind wins, in my opinion, but they blew out Alabama and finished number two in the country. So it would have been those two teams. That BYU team was good, but they would have best for me would have been like fifth or sixth, I think.
Yeah, I think there's just other teams that could have. I mean, a hot take right here. I would have even put Boise State's 2014 team, this year's Boise State team, above that 2005-2006.
That's where I came across as kind of being equal footing for that 2006 BYU team, just because how they beat teams and what the record was. And they had some good players on that team, but and it was a close vote. It was a runaway vote. It was like I think they've. We're 1 point ahead of the team behind them, but it'll be interesting when we get this bracket going next couple weeks. So we got that going on right now. I guess we'll start chat. Our guy here, Brandon, he'll be here momentarily. He's not here yet. So let's just start off going for Nevada. What are your initial thoughts, or what do you want to do? Recap? Because we didn't prepare at all this week. I was busy. You're probably busy all the time. So we kind of wing it, but we know our stuff. We get ready before the show, as I give everything away at the moment. But where do you want to start with Nevada then?
You know what? They were okay last year. Somehow, some way, they survived, made a bowl game, won the bowl game, and that. With that being said, they probably would have been a better choice in the, they probably would have been a better choice in the West Division matchup than Fresno State. But that being said, you got to win your division in order to make the championship game.
Yeah, they had it.
And so, now that being said, Cody Fajardo's gone, right? We'd assume that Tyler Stewart's going to make the start this year, but nobody really knows. And really, nobody's taken any snaps behind Cody Fajardo, because the guy who replaced him last year was a senior. Or not last year, but 2 years ago was a senior. And really, yeah. Stewart hasn't had any meaningful snaps quite at all. Stewart saw Ash in 2013.
Yeah, the Florida State game, that's about it, though. And I think other game after that. But not a lot. They also lose Richie Turner, their top wide receiver from this past year. But we're still dealing with some of these guys aren't Coach Polian's guys. I should know this, but this is year three coming up?
This is year three for Polian coming up. Obviously, the first year was not good at all. The second year was better. And if you think about it, in all reality, it was fairly successful. They made a bowl game. But year three, still not quite fully working with his guys yet. And you know what? The rest of the conference is getting better. So
luckily,
is Nevada going to get better with them? Huh?
But they're the West Division, so there's room for error.
Exactly.
So where do you want to start with? So last year, the pistol offense is still kind of working. They're still going to kind of force that in there. I think they're still going to do it because, like you said, the guys they have, I assume it's Tyler Stewart. He has to be the guy. He makes the most sense. And Polian wants to keep the run offense going. They kept their OC who ran under Chris Ault. The main issue I have for them in offense, they lose three of their five starting offensive linemen. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And, while you're losing, the guys on the left should become the strong guys now. Austin Corbett, Jeremy McCauley, both started left tackle, left guard. Assuming that Tyler Stewart is right-handed, that means with that strong left guard, he's not going to get backsided at all. So that's going to protect him from there, which allows the pistol to run a little bit easier than normal.
It does, but the problem with that, Don Jackson wasn't a great running back last year. He had spurts, but if we go back years under Colin Kaepernick years ago, they had plenty of good running backs. Don Jackson was nothing. He was okay.
Jackson wasn't special, but I think Butler, the sophomore last year, was much better.
He had less carries. His stats are technically identical, though. When you look at outside of touchdowns per touches, he was higher, but yards per carry, opposition rate, all that stuff is almost identical. I should probably look deeper at a per game status, but kind of just overall, less carries had the same output except for touchdowns.
But this is look. This is what I'm going to say to that. Butler was used as the number two back, right?
Mm-hmm.
if Butler's used as the number two back, and you know, and Don Jackson's just plowing 4.5 yards a carry, blah blah blah, every single time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't your number two back who comes in primarily on third downs, or to give the guy a break, right? Isn't he supposed to be the guy who should be short yardage, but just enough to get the first down?
Yeah, you want him to get the 3 yard guy, essentially.
Right.
3+ yard guy.
Right. So I am perfectly all right with James Butler being the guy, being the backup guy, getting those 4.5 yards per carry and having almost exactly the stats. That being said, I am not okay with Don Jackson's stats being that low. So either Butler is going to be competing for the first string this year, or Jackson really just has to get better.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Because, well, with the pistol, with the years before, they'd have multiple 1,000-yard rushers. So they need to have a guy. You can't be identical. You're right. Somebody has to step up to be the guy to get. I think I'd be comfortable, whoever the starter is, Jackson Butler, be 1,250 yards or so needs to be had.
Right.
And combined for about $2,000, not combined for what did they get last year, 1,500? Yeah, 1,500. Fajardo did get 1,200 yards, which is a big deal in the offense, but the two running backs have to combine for almost 2,000 yards, I think.
Right.
And I think
within that just running back core, I mean, you're losing Fajardo, who's essentially he was the most effective runner last year, which
by far
in a pistol system sometimes it is. But you're talking about a guy who ran for 1,200 yards last year essentially as a quarterback, and the running backs didn't even approach that near. I mean, Don Jackson was the closest, and he's still about 200 yards off.
Well, but look at
the
first 7.5 a carry, man. That's a big difference, too.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at – I'm sure if we took a hard look at statistics from years past of Nevada's teams past, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Kendall Brock. You have Viatua. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick is going to be doing what he does as long as along with Cody Fajardo. But you look at the running backs who were really had a huge effect in Nevada and made Nevada as successful as they are, they're not sitting at the mid-fours in those yards per carry. They're breaking off 20-yard runs like nobody's business.
6+ a carry seems about right.
Yeah.
All right, so, well, we have our guest is calling in after harassing him through one email this evening. Let's bring in our one of our mini Nevada guys, Brandon. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
We have our excellent for the past couple weeks. I've Brandon Blake doing baseball, a lot of Nevada stuff. So I thank you for all that good coverage to help us out there, but primarily Nevada football.
Yeah.
So well, that makes sense. Hey, people are versatile, and that's what we want from everybody. But here's what me and Chris were just talking about. You probably heard a snippet of it, and we'll kind of move on to some other topics, but what needs to be done with this running game to get to the, I guess we're talking about the guys with Colin Kaepernick, all those running backs we've had years ago. What needs to be done, or what do you expect from Don Jackson, Butler, and then assuming quarterback should be Tyler Stewart in the running game?
What do I expect? I hope they can hope they have an offensive line. That's my issue. That's the whole thing. I hope their offensive line can, you know, open some lanes. But I just hope the running game, just looking at the numbers, I just hope their running game can just be a little bit better. I mean, like you guys mentioned it, I caught a little bit of it. Like I said, the running game is solid. You just, you know, you want to – hopefully their running game can get a little bit better and be sort of that key force for them because – you know, they're going to need it, you know, put it bluntly. They're going to need a little bit better. They're going to need the running game to really step up. So I hope the running game could, you know, hopefully take that next level.
So if it does, and I think it also depends on the quarterback, I guess. It has to be Tyler Stewart, right?
It could be Tyler Stewart. It could be Hunter Frelick. It could be me. African card. That's an eligibility. I'm serious. I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be this new kid. I'm gonna totally mispronounce his name and
join the
apologize. Kathanesis.
Yeah, Austin Benson.
Yeah.
Do you know? Before we get to that, do we know his eligibility status? Because he only played a spring with the Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I haven't found if he can play right away or what.
I haven't seen any word of it, and as I said, I posted an article on the Mountain West Connection about it. His status is up in the air, so I think we don't know yet. So hopefully, go a little bit off topic. What I've gotten from him, he seems to be the type of quarterback that I think Nevada, running that pissed offense, needs to. He's the type of quarterback they need for running that offense. Question is, doesn't have the experience. Question is, as you said it, he was there in Wisconsin for a semester. So, who knows? So,
is he eligible to start immediately?
We don't know yet.
Don't know. They haven't made any announcements either way on that. So hopefully they'll get something soon because, kickoff time soon.
All right, so we got the offensive line. We know Richard Turner's not back. Because me and Chris were discussing this earlier, and Chris, I'll let you ask a question momentarily. I'm just going to get everything at the beginning. But the pistol offense is a legacy offense there at Nevada. They kept their OC, who was going to go to, I think, Boston College a few years back. Pulley's still dealing with guys that were recruited for Chris Holt's offense. Is there any time down the road that he wants to, switch his offense, or are you going to stick with what Nevada knows or has known just because?
I think he's been there 2 years. I think he wants to probably keep it as it is. I mean, he pretty much has to go with what he has. I don't see any, complete sea change in the offense. I think he's going to go with what he has in terms of the offense he has. Because I think like this, best to not switch it up all suddenly. Even though, you said it's a legacy offense, I don't see them making any changes in the foreseeable future. Not yet, anyway.
All right, I should chat, Chris. Chris, go ahead. I should ask you a question. I've been hogging. You go with something at the moment.
Yeah, so we've spent a lot of time talking about the offense. But really, one thing that kind of really helped Nevada to success last year and kind of unforeseen success was actually the defense, specifically the difference between the defensive line and the linebackers. Now, defensive line loses a very important Brock Hecking, who is now signed with my Chargers, at least as an undrafted free agent. But they still have Ian Sayar, Rakeem Yates, Lenny Jones. Are these guys going to be one of the strongest defensive lines in the Mountain West this year?
I think so. If they're not there, they're right there. They're at the top of one of the better defenses in the conference. As you mentioned, that they did lose Hecking to graduation, but you have definitely had Sayal and Yates is one of the best tacklers in the conference. So I think their defense is going to be right there, and they're going to need their defense. So to carry them while the offense sort of finds its way. So I think this is going to be one. I believe Nevada is going to be one of the better defenses in this conference, but right up there with at least in the conversation with San Diego State and the name one.
And with that being said, then we have things like the secondary, who did make some big plays last year, but they did have tons of trouble missing tackles. So and to that effect, also the secondary loses your three starters. They lose Hawkins, Garrett, and Favors. What is this team? Obviously, Duran Workman is going to be your big guy, but is this going to be the severe weakness of the Nevada defense?
either about with the defense, you know, with the secondary.
Yeah.
Yes, right? Yes, it's going to be, it's pretty much going to be all on that front seven for Nevada because, as you said, that defense lost, that secondary, which not that great to begin with, they lost all those players to graduation. So they're going to have, like you said, going to be leaning on that set, on that front four, front seven to really produce pressure and get to the quarterback because that secondary, like you said, it's a question mark. And it wasn't all that great to begin with. None of all that great to begin with, honestly, going into last year. So, you know, at the time last year. So they're really going to have to. The strength of this defense is basically going to be its front seven.
That's what it looks like. They gave up yards. They 27 points per game in this conference is. It's good enough because of who can score. Like Utah State can score points. Boise, San Diego State. Even Hawaii could put up a point for you here or there. So that's, I think, at least in my opinion, they need to, like Chris said, tackle people for one, not let people get big points.
Yeah.
But, like when they played in that bowl game, well, they give it, I know that's, I'm thinking something different there, but I think, like I said, if they can get their defense, if their front seven is good enough to help get the secondary going, because losing a bunch of starters is a setback a little bit, at least in the first game or two, but I think they need to get Seau and get people attacking the quarterback because that's kind of where they're pretty good at. Like Seau and Yates, geez, those guys had, 22 tackles for loss last year. You got Lenny Jones. I think the front is going to be, like I said, amazing, but I think that's where they're going to have to really step up to get some upsets or get to exceed expectations.
Right. Seau had, and my numbers will be incorrect, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he had 11 tackles for loss, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah, it's crazy numbers for that team. That front seven, or front four, at least, excuse me, at the very least, is going to have to put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And, you know, they're going to have to need that also, not only to help out their offense, but, you know, let their front seven, defensive backfield grow and, you know, get their stuff together. So,
is it time for the fun part?
Games. Yes, game time.
It is games. We got, I'm sure, Brandon, have you done a podcast with us yet?
This is my first one.
First time.
This is your first one. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure if you've listened to our podcast, but our format usually is, especially for these big football previews that we do every year, we go through almost game by game and really kind of end up making a fool of ourselves with predictions and everything like that. So you have the starters. You've got the first three games of the season. You got UC Davis, Arizona, Texas A&M. The first game should be gimme. Absolutely.
You should be, but just take it from a Florida alum and a fan. They never gimme. But we can go with that. UC Davis a gimme.
Right. So now, what about Arizona and Texas A&M? Is there any hope for upsets of either one of those teams?
Wait. Any hope? Did you not watch the Arizona game last year? If not for two field goals, they should have won that game.
There's hope. I mean, I think with Arizona, I mean, I don't think Arizona is one of the best teams, I think, in the Pac-12. A&M, yeah, there's no chance of that. there's no chance. You know, and A&M's defense, you know, should improve. Can't get any worse. But, yeah, I don't. And, well, the least Arizona will be in McKay Stadium, the Mackey Stadium. At least it'll be there. So they have a chance. There's always a chance.
Especially since, I hate to say it, but Nevada does have a very strong home team advantage.
No, they don't. Well, according to our good friend Dan Connolly, they have one of the better home fields. And according to, not according, Dan Connolly tweeted a link mentioning Mackey Stadium is one of the, I guess, better home fields. It was like, okay, I can get behind that, I guess. But
it is. They are the biggest rival city. I would, honestly, I would think they might, this might sound crazy, but I think they have a better chance against Texas A&M than Arizona. And
yeah,
hear me out
before
we throw stuff at me. I just thinking, it's kind of my thing, if anybody plays Air Force, New Mexico, Georgia Tech, Navy, the offense is so unique, they don't face it. That gives them a chance to do it. Because look when they played Florida State a couple years ago. They gave Florida State a scare for the first half with, I believe they had Tyler Stewart in that game for half the game because Fajardo was out. So I'm thinking A&M, they're pretty good. They're nothing I don't think they're exceptional. They're not going to be a top 10 team this year. But I'm thinking with the way that this offense runs, they could put a scare in some for at least a half. Because Arizona, they have a new Solomon coming back. They have all these guys coming back. Yeah, it's at Kyle Phillip. I'm thinking with the uniqueness of the offense and if that front seven is reasonably good because their quarterback situation is still not the best with Texas A&M, I could see a possibility there being at least a scare. If it's close to fourth quarter, who knows what could happen, but I think those are a few reasons I would give it. I would pick a winner over A&M than Arizona.
Right. And you mentioned it, dog, and good part on that. The offense, you know, is something A&M doesn't really see all that often. They, you know, unless they're probably playing, you know, Miss Ole Miss or Mississippi schools in the SEC. And also the uniqueness of the offense and the combination of A&M defense. You know, first year under John Chavis, you know, we don't know what that, you know, we don't know how good they can be if they're going to be good again at all. So, I give them more of a chance with it. Brian, you convince me. I'll give them more of a chance against A&M than against Arizona with, you know, defending Pac-12 South chance and return all those players from that team that should be the favorites to win that. Should be the favorites to win that side of the Pac-12. So,
glad I can convince you.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things that the Pac-12 is, you know, the Pac-12 can be really cruel to us, or can really be, you know, very very kind and generous to us. See Washington State last year. But let's go ahead and move on. Our next two set of games, Nevada travels at Buffalo. Late September, and then returns home against UNLV. Buffalo shouldn't be a challenge, right? This is a weak MAC team. Anything there?
The batter in the route.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is still kind of recuperating from a couple years, like Khalil Mack a couple years ago. They're still trying to build back up. So that it's a long trip, so that's a little concerned, but... You're not playing in November where there's crazy weather in Buffalo, so I think it should be a win. And Buffalo, what were they last year? They weren't even bowl eligible last year.
Nope.
I don't believe so either. But yeah, unless Khalil Mack gets some eligibility, nobody knows of. Yeah, Nevada should win that one.
So. And then with. The UNLV game, well, you go. You take that, Chris, because you like the Rebels a bit more than most people.
I do. May or may not be because I attended there. So there's a small spark in Las Vegas right now. And Tony Sanchez is really – if anything, he's gotten the city talking about UNLV football, which is really weird. So is him and his seasoned veteran assistants, are they going to lead something here? Is the cannon just going to get extra nasty this year or whatever? Is this something that Nevada should be worried about?
I think with Nevada, it's a rivalry game, so you have to sort of, you know, the old cliche, throw the record books out, you know, especially when you deal with a rivalry game, you know, Fremont Cannon. Nevada should win this game because I think UNLV is just, you know, just so depleted. It's just, you know, just not there, but you never know. You never know with the rivalry game. Nevada, I think I like Nevada in this game. They should win it. But I think just with the rivalry and everything should keep it, you know, competitive, hopefully. You hope for a competitive rivalry.
UNLV has to – they have a little bit of talent. They might have a – well, Devontae Davis is a very good wide receiver. So they have some – I think there could be a chance this game could put up some points, depending who's throwing the ball on UNLV, because that's one of the many, many quarterback situations we have no idea what's going on with. But, yeah, I think Nevada should do it. So if we're at five games in, after that rivalry game, which is for some reason October 3rd, which is a disgrace, but what would you
think about? Yeah, I don't get that either, but.
Where would you put them at there? I kind of like it, what, probably three wins at that point, losing to both the Pac-12 and SEC teams?
I have them right around to UC Davis. And then Buffalo, yeah, there should be about 3-2 headed to the before they host New Mexico.
So with the Lobos, yeah, that's, I think we're all agreement there. But New Mexico, let me ask you this: have you seen how much of New Mexico have you seen in the past? Whatever, zero, a lot. You can be honest. You can say none. That's fine.
I've seen them play the what. Okay, I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen them play much. the last time I saw them play a game, I think it had to be a bowl game. Maybe it was 08 or 09. And they were hosting. I was like, oh, New Mexico. New Mexico's hosting the New Mexico Bowl. It's nice to give those bowls a, you know, teams a chance to get to the bowl.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. I just think, I think Chris in agreement, or at least I am, we're a little bit hot on New Mexico because their offense is so dang unique and crazy. This game could be like 50 points apiece.
You're right. It has looks of it. Go ahead, sorry.
how would you say what they run on offense, like the Lobos? I know we're not getting too in-depth because I've seen the Lobos just a little bit. My most experience, so me and Chris are probably watching that Boise game last year, when they put a scare in Chris, and Chris is probably not doing too well that night.
I was drinking heavily.
Yes, of course. I think this is the game where we'll see what the Nevada front seven's about, and it'll be exciting. I like the Mexico's offense, the way they do the pistol. They do pistol. They do three running backs. They'll do option. They'll do read option. They'll do jet sweep.
Oh, it's a bit. Yeah. The bananas offense they run.
Yes. I just think it'll be one. I don't know. It's like this will be the game more so than playing Arizona A&M. What we'll really know how good and disciplined this front seven could be.
Right, because I mean, as you know, the New Mexico. I mean. What, you know, what I've gathered from them, they, like you said, they're multiple, I can't say multiple enough, you know, that they're off with the offenses they run. So, and also, you know, they, you know, also with the quarterback situation, if they go with, I'm going on his name, if they go with with their quarterback, you know, he's a threat to either run or pass. So, and you said it's an important game. I like Nevada in that one. I like them just on paper. But if they were to be bowl eligible and also, most importantly, you know, try to compete for the Mount West, for the Western Division in that conference, I think they have to win that game. I think that's key. Because we'll get to the back end of that schedule in a moment. But I think Nevada needs to win this game. And they're going to be tested.
All right, so the next stretch of games I'm going to take you through, once again, it's three teams that are totally beatable, but circumstances are just really, really confusing. First, you're traveling to Wyoming, and 7,200 feet up, it's really, really difficult to play in. And Craig Bull looks like he's developing more of his style game up there. Then you return home to Hawaii, where you face, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Max Wittick and the Rainbow Warriors. That is Phil Steele's choice for first-team quarterback Max Wittick. And Hawaii could definitely be threatening this year. And then you travel 3 hours south. Yeah, bye week. Then 3 hours south to Fresno State, at Fresno State. That's the key. That's the key game of this whole season for Nevada. There is no Boise State, so Fresno State wins.
Right. I think with Wyoming, and Wyoming, I think, is such a mixed bag. I mean, Craig Bohl, really, I think you may need another year or two to get the stamp on his program. I like the Chase Coffman pickup. They're going to run that. They're running. They seem to be a team that's going to lean on their running back. They got a nice crew of running backs they have. A little bit more manageable schedule. I think they'll be – that game is going to be competitive, especially. A luckless team, but that one, like you said, it's in Laramie, elevation and all of that. So really hard for – a tough task in the bottom, I think. And then you got Hawaii, Max Wittick, maybe, who knows, come back. So you come back, but I think Hawaii is going to be another team that's going to be another interesting. Talk about the New Mexico game. That's going to be another game that, the scoreboard will get a nice workout in. But I think I like Nevada in that one. And then they got the bye week, and then Fresno, that could possibly decide, the inside track to the to the Western Division title. I think right now I like Nevada to take those, definitely against Hawaii, and then the Fresno game. I think with that one. Interesting to see with that one. I think I like Nevada in two of those games. I think they drop one. I can see them dropping the one in Wyoming. Just a tough place to play. But I see them taking at least two or three.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I would probably go Wyoming Hawaii for wins and probably lose Fresno. But let's move on to the final three games. These are tough. These are probably the side of the division, most likely. Probably that last four stretch, but we already discussed Fresno. But is it premature to just say a win over the Spartans is guaranteed?
Against San Jose State?
Yeah.
against the Spartans? Yeah. I don't like doing that, but yeah.
I know, but confident. You're confident, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident they should be able to handle San Jose State. At least they get a break in the last 4 weeks of the season between Fresno, which I think I believe that one's going to be on national TV. And then you got San Jose State, which they should win. And here's the fun one. The last two on the road, as you said, Utah State and then San Diego State. Where they want to go, they want to try to get bowl eligible. They want to represent the Western Division. They have to win those games. God, that's gonna be tough. I could see them dropping them, but I think that San Diego State game. Two teams, similar styles. They want to try to run the ball. I think that's just going to be tough for them. I think they'll probably drop one or two of them in, seven wins. At least bowl eligibility is not out of the realm of the possibility. But, God, that's tall order for that team to win back-to-back road games against two very fine programs, and the Aggies and then the Aztecs.
So two questions. First, will the San Diego State game decide the West Division? And the follow-up question to that is, what is Nevada? What do you think Nevada's final record will be?
I think to answer the first one, I don't think it'll it won't be. I have a feeling I don't think it'll decide the West. It could possibly be one of those situations where it could be, you know, the San Diego State wins, beats Nevada, San Diego State represents the West, or if Nevada wins, you know, Utah State, you know, advances off a tiebreaker or something like that. I'd like that. I just don't see Nevada winning. They drop either one of those really games, and you got the Wyoming game later on. I don't see it being for the division. Just me personally. And then to answer the second question, I think 7 wins is not out of the pot. They won 7 last year. I could see them winning 7 next this year, and probably headed back to New Orleans for the bowl game or something like that. I see 7-5 in this team's future for the upcoming season.
So you're thinking it probably takes 8 wins to win that West Division?
8 wins probably gets it. Like I said, biases aside, I think San Diego can do so. Class of that division, but you can't count out Utah State. If pressed, I like San Diego State, but you know, you can't count out San Diego, Utah State, Nevada. This is, I think, it's going to go down to the last weeks of the season. Last few weeks of the season wins it. But 8 wins wins the 8 wins are probably. And probably win that division, I believe. It's going to be really close.
Nice. Well, you have the Twitter questions, Jeremy. I haven't taken a look at them today, so you can go ahead and ask them.
Oh, okay. Some of them were already answered because I snuck them in. One was the Aztec-Nevada game will be decide the title for the West. Maybe not. I think it'll be close. I think the Fresno result will know more at that point. We asked about – okay, let me ask you this question then. It's kind of for all of us. I'm assuming we'll start with you, Brandon. How many West teams will make a bowl game this year?
How many West teams? Well, I think Nevada. I like San Diego State. I like Utah State. That's 3. I think Fresno State probably falls in that 5-6 win mark. So I think 3 teams. San Diego State, Nevada, Utah State.
Well, okay. Well, before people say these, Utah State's the Mountain Division, but Chris knows me. I got it mixed up the first 2 years in that division. I'm like, why are we in the West? He's like, no, you're not. You're an idiot. It's in the other division. So, no, it's okay. I just wanted to make sure. I made that mistake for the first 2 years of this stuff, and I should know it all. But no, I think I would agree with you. Maybe Fresno, but Aztecs and Nevada. I just hope the division winner has a 500 record or above.
Me too. I hope so too. I started watching the Mountain West title game last year. Just Fresno State. They could have just had Boise State and Colorado State play for that, but for the Mountain West title. Western Division could just relax.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Do you think you're speaking with 2 or 3 teams, or are you a believer in Hawaii making 6 wins?
Oh no! I'm totally. I am very much on board with the Hawaii 6 win scenario. But you know what? I see Nevada as a 6-6 team this year. I see them dropping Arizona, Texas A&M. I see them dropping San Diego State, Utah State. And I'll be honest, I see them dropping New Mexico and Hawaii just because those 2 teams are the ultimate wild card teams. And those 2 teams can either be bowl game good or just, well, they're going to be bad for the next 20 years. And I'm seriously banking on the former because I think with between Football Bob and New Mexico and what he's done over there and what a healthy Max Wittig could possibly do for this Hawaii team, it's going to be scary.
All right. Yeah, that, I, that's a very possibility. So let's move on. Which this is more back to the Nevada question, straight for you, Brandon. Who's going to be your starting quarterback week one?
Well, my starter, I'd like for the starter for Nevada, I think I'm going to just go with, you know, you could put a big question mark on that with that. But if gun to my head, I think I probably would go with the starter for the team, probably just the one with the experience on there. Just why not, you know?
Yeah, Tyler Stewart is the right choice.
Tyler Stewart, yeah. Tyler Stewart, Dante Mays. Tyler Stewart has the action, you know, played a little bit. Just, you know, gun to my head, I'll go with it. Don't have the greatest confidence in it, but we'll go with him.
Neither do the coaches.
The correct answer is quarterback.
There you go.
Starting five quarterbacks at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry, say that again?
I said the correct answer is that Nevada will start all their quarterbacks at the same time.
Why not? You know, just why not?
Yeah,
they got five of them. They got five. If you count Kaepernick, that's five of them. You can line up at the wide receiver spot, which I think I'm hearing from our friend Dan Connolly. Why not? Just start. You could start a wide out of the slot and just start all five of them. They'll never know.
Yep. That's kind of what we joked about when the Mexico played five last year, Hawaii played four, Fresno played everybody. So we call it the quarterback. So would it be safe to say your breakup player could be the starting quarterback, or would you go with somebody else?
I mean, you go with the guy with the some experience, and just see, you know, throw him out there, see what he can do. But man, I don't know who's going to start. I mean, it just doesn't look like they separated. And, you know, look at Cohen probably the night before the UC Davis game and see what happens. Well, we have the summer, we've got, you know, fall practice. I think Tyler Stewart gets to start. Now, if he's effective, then go with God with him on that. But if not, you got four other options, you know, and just hope that the running game can lean on it. But Tyler Stewart's going to be the starter week one when they take the field against UC Davidson on Thursday the 3rd of September.
All right, now that we got all this stuff out of the way, essentially, the important stuff. Well, no, let's actually get to the important stuff now. So we're a few more minutes left here before we wrap it up. But we got to go into a bowl game, which is, I think, most people's expectations for this team. What would be, like, if you could, we kind of asked this about everybody, like, one game, like, where you'd want to go to or anything like that, or any, which Nevada game could, let me just rephrase as I'm stumbling here. Like, if you could pick one game to go to, like, this is the only Nevada game I'm going to go to, what would you kind of think that would be? It could be home or away, or what's kind of your go-to game you think you'd want to see, whether there's something on the line or you just want to go to Wyoming to watch them play at 7,000 feet?
No, because I'm tempting, but, you know, I like to breathe at regular sea level. That is just my dreader. There's so many good ones. A&M, you know, just to see how they go through, how they go toe-to-toe against an SEC team. Arizona, Arizona's a good matchup. And I said this earlier, I like them going up against San Diego State at the end of the year. Because I think, like I said, I like, you know, a game with stakes with something on the line. I think Nevada and San Diego State, Nevada could, you know, could go one of a few ways. They could play for a berth in the conference championship game, or they could, you know, spoil San Diego State's chances and Utah State gets in there. So I think I'm going to go with the San Diego State game at the end of the year.
Awesome. We'll pick up tickets.
Yeah, because Chris, we haven't made this news here. Should we tell people, Chris? Or wait?
I'm not sure if I can, like, officially make the news. Let's just say I'm undergoing another move. We can't say that.
Okay, we'll say that, so.
In another Mountain West territory from where I am right now.
All right, so we're pretty much done here. So one last question here. What would be, like, if Nevada were to exceed your expectations, like, say they have a great season, everything goes well, better than planned, what would you see, like, the pinnacle season? Like, this would be much better than we expected, but still within the realistic realm.
Like, what's more realistic, or?
Well, don't just say they're going to go 13-0 and go to the playoff, but but something that's overachieving, but we could still see it being, that's possible if things work right for them.
Okay, I understand. I think they can win the Mountain West. I think they can win their side of the western side of the Mountain West division. It's not out of the realm of impossibility. I mean, I think their defensive front seven is good enough to do that. The running backs, I think they could take a step up, you know, at least alleviate the pressure on whoever's the quarterback for them in the end. And then I like their wideout, Henderson. Gotta have his name right. I like big target type of kid. I like him as well. And that kind of the Mountain West, I mean, it's not necessarily world beating if you sit and think about it. I mean, Fresno won and they were 6-6. So if everything breaks their way, they win their game, and all they gotta do, let's say, just if they knock off, Utah State or San Diego State, which I think San Diego State is most importantly, and Fresno State, which are the two sort of obstacles in their way. I would, come December, wouldn't be shocked if they're playing for a Mountain West title. I've seen stranger.
Yeah, we did 6-6 Fresno last year. And so I agree with you. I could see them winning. I think that's a real possibility. They need a break or two to win that West division. Because I think the Aztecs are, I don't know. The West is just up in the air in the most part, but they play at San Diego State and at Fresno State, and those are some difficult games, some places to play a little bit. But I think we've exhausted everything about Fresno State tonight, Brandon. So thank you for joining
Nevada.
Us.
Nevada?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Nevada. Thanks, sorry. I was looking up, making sure I had in front of me where Nevada plays, and I just saw Fresno State said, Fresno. No, Nevada. That's NEVADA, Nevada Wolfpack. But yeah.
Hey, you had a problem with that when I first wrote, but never mind. But yeah.
No, but thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work for us. Follow, I'm trying to pull up your Twitter here. I forget. What is that so I don't say that wrong as well? So people can follow you about stuff.
Okay. It's Blake_Babbles. And forget about the NBA. That's on there. Please follow. Tweet good things, links, stuff like that. I'll try to reply back.
Interaction is a good way to go. What's your because I do this to everybody just because. What's your current count at the moment of followers? Do you have that in front of you? Because my computer apparently is dying out on me.
68 followers.
Okay. Our goal, let's get up to over 100, yes, Chris, that's right, 100. I always joked with Chris last year. He was stuck at, 480 or something for, months. I'm like, get up to 500. He was, for, half the season last year, he was, at 480, 490, so I just kind of joke around, get somebody to the next level. It took 8 months or something to get him to that next level. But we will get you, I won't guarantee it, but we'll do our best to get you up to 100. Follow for Nevada stuff, Florida stuff. People don't like me because I tweet random TV and BYU stuff just because I do, but give him a follow. But, hey, thanks a ton for joining us, and we'll have you on again when we kind of do our big prediction right before the season. Okay, man?
All right. Thank you guys for having me on. I hope I didn't embarrass anybody.
No, you did great. You did excellent. Thanks a lot, Brandon. See ya.
All right. No, later.
Yes, excellent. stuff there about Nevada there, folks. As I said, Nevada. Just go see that. So, Chris, what would be your – because we didn't really give our prediction, kind of. What is your thought for Nevada? Oh, six and you, – oh, you're going 6-6?
Yeah.
I would think – I'm tempted to say they'll win the West Division because the West, honestly, it's just awful. It is – is that too harsh to say that it's just awful?
Nope.
I think I tried to say something about San Diego State being better than Nevada, but they're probably even. I think, like, looking who they play, they're probably, like we said, they're probably going to start off 3-2, beating UNLV, Buffalo, UC Davis. That New Mexico game could go over. Like, here's the thing, they have so many 50-50 games. Their back half of the schedule could be 50-50, even including UNLV, New Mexico, Wyoming, Hawaii, Fresno, San Jose, even though I kind of gave San Jose State a win for Nevada, and then Aztecs, they're all 50-50 wins. They're not going to beat Utah State. They're not going to beat Arizona. They're not going to beat Texas A&M. That gives them, what, 7 games that could go either way?
Yeah.
I think they can win the West Division because honestly they're more secure at quarterback even though they haven't named. It is concerning that they haven't named Tyler Stewart the starter, but I think they're more stable on offense than San Diego State and Fresno State.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they may get to only 7 wins, but I think they can win the West. But when you play at Fresno, at San Diego State, that's not extremely easy.
No, not easy at all. And especially since, like I said, I'm putting them at 6-6. And at this point, maybe everybody except for UNLV, I think, has a chance to win the West Division. That's how up in the air this team is.
David, you still like San Jose State to maybe win that division?
San Jose State is a complete wild. San Jose State is an X factor. They should be horrible, but who knows?
I don't trust them at all. I don't trust them at all. I would, if I'm going West contenders, because that was one of our questions, so we'll still sneak it in. It's obviously Fresno, Nevada, San Diego State. People are liking Hawaii more than me. Like when I was on with Chris Turner, he likes Hawaii. The guys from Five Dimes like Hawaii. Phil Still put Max Whittick as the number one QB because he threw a dart at the right spot, I think. I don't think, even though UNLV has Devontae Davis, he's not there yet. I think it's in Hawaii. I'd put Hawaii the fourth team, but still, it's still a 2-half division. Fresno, San Diego, Nevada are way ahead of everybody else with Hawaii inching toward that top half. And I would say, I don't think they'll win the West just because they play, but I think they'll still win 7 games, but come up. They'll beat either San Diego State or Fresno State. That's kind of where I'm landing on them.
Yeah.
And that Aztec game end of year probably might have a combined 20 points in it, I think.
With Rocky Long. Either of the teams.
Very much a possibility. So do we have anything else to add? Because we had plenty of good info from Brandon all around about the every position on the team, kind of his predictions. Do you have anything else to add about the Nevada Wolfpack? Well, actually, I have one thing first. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed of you they're not playing Boise State?
Actually, I'm pretty disappointed. I'm going to put it at about an 8.
I would agree with you there. I thought you might just go, say, 11 or something. But that's a game. I get it's every 2 years, but maybe if we relook at the schedules after this first cycle, maybe find a protected rival on each side like the SEC kind of does. Because there's enough teams. They played in the WAC. They played in the Mountain West. I think that could be a possibility to get done. But I don't know. That's all I got. Do you have anything else to add? Are we good to wrap up? Discuss next week's show a little bit? So if we're going alphabetical order, let me screw up here. You can go ahead while I'm finding this out.
Well, we went out of alphabetical order, and it looks like we are officially halfway through our previews, right?
What, halfway?
Yeah, we're halfway through our previews with ending this preview, so next would be New Mexico.
Oh, yes. this. I don't know why I'm so excited for New Mexico. I don't understand it.
Because you know it's you know the random like 8-4 New Mexico is coming.
Possible. I gotta reach out to our New Mexico guys, see what we have on. I just think my quick. I said this for the past 3 years, and I could probably pull an audio clip of you or me saying this the past 2 years. If they have anybody who could throw the ball, or at least pretend to throw the ball reasonably well, this could be a team that could beat anybody in the conference.
That's going to be. I think that's what you should do for the intro next week. You should find our previous clips from New Mexico about the predictions and just see how wrong we were and then just see how right we're going to be.
I will save those. I will do that for next week's show. I'll make sure to save them, but it's not far-fetched. I'll still contest this to anybody who wants to tell me or talk to me about it. If Jarrell Presley did not leave the Boise State game against New Mexico, New Mexico would have beat the Broncos. The Broncos had no answer for that running attack at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you can be quiet. You can kind of mumble like, "Oh, that's okay," because it's my team. But no, I don't know. I like New Mexico. We'll talk about it next week. Also, a couple news and notes here. How is your top 50 list coming along? Because mine's about 8 players filled in.
Yeah, I have not started.
Okay, for those who don't know, we've done it the past couple of years. We'll finish really quick, but some housekeeping news. We're working on our top 50 countdown of best players in the conference. We have a bunch of players that participated in that. I have a few filled out. We'll dish that out daily. I think I said starting in 2 weeks, so we better both get on that and finish that. We're also doing with, like I said at the beginning, Matt Kennerly, our bracket of, because the top 16 we did, we're doing brackets now. We'll do what a sports kind of a, it won't be a one-game simulation. I think he said 9, so we'll have that out to see who the best Mountain West team is overall. Did we ever say who we thought would be? You said that TCU team, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, did you notice how people are disappointed there is no 2008 TCU team included?
Yes.
I think Matt made a two-team cutoff, but I guess if you have the two BCS teams, they're going to go in ahead. But that I just remember watching that 08 Utah TCU game and going, man, if TCU had a kicker, they would have been to 3 BCS bowl games or something. But I watch for that, and I think that's about it. We'll have random stuff going on, as always. We didn't go too off-topic tonight, even though we passed the one-hour mark. We haven't gone over an hour too many times, but I am out of stuff to say. Are you good to go for this evening?
I'm good.
All right, check us out next week, or check us out every day at the website, mwcconnection.com, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio. We're all there for the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Tell us your real review if you like us or not. And we'll be back next week for our New Mexico preview as we go downhill as we get to the upcoming Mountain West football season. So everybody, hope you love the show, and we'll talk to you next time.